With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kia ora and welcome to another Aotearoa Rugby Pod. It feels like an eternity since the last podcast. So much has happened. We've had, you know, captains and coaches keep their jobs. We've had two coaches go, another coach come in, players come and go. There's so much to talk about and so many unanswered questions about Ian Foster as the attack coach. Why did John Plumtree and Brad Moore get sacked? What was wrong with what they did? What about Scott McLeod? The defence wasn't that great either. So many questions to answer, so many things to break down. In studio, James Parsonson is a very special treat.
For a week.
I'm stoked to be back, lads. It's just good to get the energy. It's great to have the energy
off the big screen. You can't smell the cologne on the big screen.
No, you can't. It's good for my neck as well. I don't have to be rotated towards the screen or show. Great to have you here.
I'm stoked to be here, lads. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. But just so you know, Bryn is about to head off to Japan. So this is his last time in studio with us. So we appreciate that. But we will have you over here.
Yeah, nothing will change. Yeah.
The next few months. So, guys, let's get into it. There's a million questions I have for you. Let's start with what's happened over the last week. Bryn, with you, seeing as you're in, let's get the first crack.
Sure.
Has Entidar missed an opportunity here to go about this in a slightly different way, by easy as she does it with Jason Ryan coming in and a couple of the assistant coaches going?
Well, it depends, really. I think, you know, there did need to be change. And I think one of the areas that we've probably talked about is, you know, John Plumtree and Ian Foster when it comes to the attack coach, and probably the forward works when it's come to the physicality of the line out, where we didn't get there right in the Irish series. And so, you know, those are probably the two guys that were probably under the most, under the microscope, and probably fair around their missing out. But I guess what that has done, you know, it's quite funny now. 2 years ago, we were talking around, you know, Jason Ryan being in with Scott Robertson to be in the coaching groups, and now that he's here to be able to try and help and, you know, I guess save where the All Blacks are at the moment. I guess the biggest thing I know through, well, no doubt we'll talk about it, what Jason Ryan will bring. He'll be able to fix up a lot of those things when it comes to line out more, which it's a really tough test because you know how well the Springboks are in their line out more. But I know he's going to get immediate impact around how he's going to be able to change the All Blacks when it comes to that line out more, and the kind of physicality and the mindset, which is probably the biggest thing that Jason Ryan could bring into that group.
He has a great feel for players as well. Yep. From the outside looking in, he's one of those coaches that seems that players sort of will go above and beyond for him in the way he goes about his coaching. So I think that's a really exciting aspect for, you know, some positive energy going into what has been a really challenging time for the All Blacks. And you look at the, you know, sort of what Wayne Smith said over the last few days, is that pressure of expectation is what makes the All Blacks great. And, you know, they haven't met that, and that is forced change. But like, let's not lose that. And I suppose there is challenging time, you know, like two good men, you know, departing after giving their heart and soul. It's not like they weren't, you know, completely consumed by the job, but as players and as coaches, you go into that role, you know what you're signing up for. You know that pressure of expectation and that public, you know, feedback, so to speak, especially these days with social media, is there. But what it is really challenging for is I reckon the family, because they don't sign up for that, and it can be you know, extra stress on those coaches that are departing, but also the players that are under pressure as well. There's a hell of a lot of extra stress for their family. And there's been clearly a lot of internal gazing, I suppose, and looking at what each individual, but also leadership groups, coaching groups, what they need to deliver to get that level of success back. And sometimes touring's really you know, positive for when you're in the trenches like this, and you feel that pressure, and pressure makes diamonds. And I think You know, we can still have some optimism and self-belief that we can turn things around heading to South Africa.
Yep. So you get into a touring environment and you can flush the dunny and move on, as Steve Hansen would say?
Well, I think so. I think there has been changes. So obviously, with this last week in New Zealand, you know, there's been that much media attention around what's went wrong, who's going to come in. And so those kind of changes have been made. So Jason Ryan's in that role now. He's going to be able to go over there and hopefully fix around a few problems that we've talked about at length around what's been wrong with the All Blacks. But, you know, you go over to South Africa, you galvanise as a group because, you know, you're away from the public, and it's probably a great time as an All Black to get away from the media with how much pressure there's been. There's been so much talk around the results, what's going wrong with the All Blacks, but you get to go over to a different country. You don't feel the pressures around bringing the media into the, to the media scrums and being able to have that added pressure. But what you are going to be able to go do over there is being able to play. You get to have, you know, those extra coffees. The preparation side of it is a lot easier. You know, when you travel over to South Africa, the preparation you can do with coffees, being in and around the environment for 24 hours with teammates, doing those extra things where, you know, they'll be able to have those communications and have those talks around, you know, hopefully having a successful two games over there, and we get back on the winning track where we need to be.
Yeah, and don't underestimate that, ability to look at your own game. And like you'd be the same, Bryn. When you play a poor performance, your next game is normally your best because you really have a good look at why that performance was the way it is. And I think there, you know, would be a lot of guys that are going to run out against the Springboks that are looking to really make a statement. And I think that's exciting for one, you know, the leadership opportunity for the follow me, this is where we're going, and for the other guys to just step up, do their role at 100% and allow that opportunity for them to play that All Black rugby. Mm.
That was one of the key disappointments about the third Irish Test, wasn't it? Because it should have been that. It should have been we played poorly in the second game, we played better in the third, and it went backwards.
Yeah, but I think there still would have been some, you know, reflection, and they would have wanted to improve. But, you know, sometimes, like, this is where I struggle with this, is because I do want to credit Ireland. Like, they played really well. You know, it wasn't due to an All Blacks poor performance. They played their game to the T and really executed it, which, you know, put the All Blacks under pressure and you know, led to poor decisions in the game.
But I guess the thing that I'm wondering is, you know, there's been a lot of chat around our attack, and if you look at Ireland through that Test series, how many times they question us with different variety with the attack with the All Blacks. And so, you know, can they do that in 2 weeks? You know, what does it look like? So whether, you know, Fozzie was holding back in, you know, plays and that kind of stuff to be able to not show the Irish and do it too early out from the World Cup. But now I think he's got to get into a position where he has to show his hand because he's under that much pressure where he needs to win now. So, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like. The only variation that we really saw was hitting that third attacker. And so are they going to be able to adapt? Are they going to show improvements in that phase play shape? Because to be honest, in the third Test, in the whole Test series, I think the Irish attack consistently asks us questions, whether that be four or five phases in with their first phase play shapes off their maps, or it was six, or it was the 12th or the 15th phase. They were always asking questions with different variety around their attack. So, you know, whether the All Blacks can do that in a short amount of time, I'm not too sure, but I think there needs to be massive improvements around their attack, especially with what we saw in that Test match series against Ireland.
You have to believe they can. Like, we've seen a lot of these players play phenomenal footy in Super Rugby, and it was only a, do you know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, a lot of their success was clarity of role, bodies in motion at the line, getting, you know, good long cleans and quick ball, and they use their switch a lot. You know, like, we're capable of that. And maybe simplifying it, you know, that may sound stupid because everyone's saying our attack isn't good, but maybe simplifying it and, you know, going a little bit old school and being direct and making sure you start the game, you know, win those collisions and set the tone, and then bring in your alternatives later once you've sucked the life out of the defence. But it's really that recycle of ball, you know, getting carries over the game line, quick cleans, ball up, and playing that style that, you know, we have been. And I also think, to your point, you know, there's a lot of talk around attack, but, you know, the defence has allowed, you know, probably a couple of penalties for Ireland to piggyback down the field. And against the Springboks, we know that the maul is their thing. That's what they go to. So, yep, I agree. You know, no doubt there'll be a shift with Jace Ryan in there, and that's his bread and butter. You saw it with Fiji against the All Blacks, how they took them on up there, and he'll be looking to do the same. And I don't know, like, the big thing about mauls is just not letting them have the opportunity, and so much of that is just taking that half a metre, not being too eager at the breakdown and giving that penalty away to give them the option to get in there first.
And I think there's one thing that I think there's going to be improvements around that. Like, we know how successful and how hard it is to stop the South African maul, but Jason Ryan, that's his bread and butter. He's been able to do that. You know, whether that be at the Crusaders, I know it's different at international level. It's a lot different. It's a higher state, and you've got a lot of the higher the caliber of the players. But you know, for 6 years, he was able to not one team scored a line out more against us. And so yes, that comes back to, I think, you know, technically and tactically within that moment, Jip, you've got to be able to have a real clear role around what you're line out more and what you need to do in that.
Players were well motivated as well.
And that's it. And so where it comes to that point, it's the mindset as well. You're playing for your team, but you're playing for your forwards and the pride to not let someone score against you. And there was a bit of added incentive for us to be able to not score tries against us. But I know Mutt, he'll be able to change that around, and he'll be able to get the best out of the All Blacks. And you know, whether we see scenes of 5-6 years where they don't score line out moors, but you'd like to think that, you know, it might be 7 or 8 games where they don't score tries against them.
His one advantage though, he's coached Fiji and studied the All Blacks and where they potentially were weak to take advantage of it. So he's got a lot of intel already from being on the other side. So he will be able to make small adjustments. And mauls are, you know, just small adjustments. It's timing. It's your ability not to overachieve and push them around the corner. It's, you know, understanding that feel of it. And, you know, it's mauls that like sort of goes against the, you know, pressure of least resistance. So it'll move with that. If you just give a good solid platform or, you know, really take them aggressively towards the sideline, you know, or you go for the good old adage, which I thought we did really well, and I've mentioned it a couple of times in the World Cup against the Springboks, when we won in pool play, is just sacking it. Mm. You know, Kieran Reid was one of the best at it, and just ripping it down, and they can't get it going. So there's options there, and it's not like rocket science. Mm. It's just timing and you know, accuracy and execution, which all those players are capable of.
So it's the basics. It's not necessarily the tactic that's going wrong. It's the basics that's not going right there.
I don't know. But what I'm just saying is, having been a player in teams when they're under this amount of pressure, sometimes decluttering and unloading and just going back to the simple aspects of what you're trying to achieve brings the best out of you and gives you that clarity of mind to just play.
Yeah, I think, and that's the perfect thing that Chip said. It's your clarity of your. Let's just use the example of the line-out more, right? Obviously, I'm not a line-out more specialist here, Jip, but I've been in enough unit sessions with when I was at the Crusaders under Jason Ryan, how, you know, the accountability of your role in that moment, what you need to do, and you need to get that right. Like you said, if you want to be not a hero, but if you get your time right where you want to try and make a play and you overplay your hand, you know, there might be somewhere you're going around the corner, opens up to be able to come down the other side, and you can go around the front door or something like that. So the expectation of your role to be able to not score that many more tries for that many years, you've got to be able to have the accountability on the players to get that right and show them pictures, Jip, to like what they need to do in that moment. Because you can have, you know, 7 or 8 line-out moors in a game, you need to be on every single time. So that comes back to coaching, preparation, and then executing your role at that pressure.
What's Jason Ryan's style in that way? Is he a taskmaster? Is he a guy who talks through gently how to do things? How does he approach it?
Oh, he's pretty red dot, he'll tell you how it is. But I think the good thing about Mutt is that he's got a pretty good understanding that you can't always talk to people like one person. And I guess the day and age with players is that you can't be a dictator and say, this is the way you do it, this is how you do it. You've got to be able to, some guys don't respond to that. So it's having an ability about how do I get the best out of them to try and communicate that in a constructive way, to be able to, I need you to do this. And so through his time, you know, Jace has done really, really well. And like, to be honest, it's not that long ago with Jace, he was analyst at the Cruise for Canterbury, Razors brought him in for a job. And you know, he was doing My Sky to be able to be an analyst. He didn't really know how to be able to like be a coach, but got put in that position to come and learn. And 10 years later, you'd arguably say he's probably one of the best best forward coaches in the world. And it comes back to that kind of mindset that he has and his ability to, most importantly, I think, in this day and age, understand people's personalities and then getting the best out of that player when they need it.
And one hell of a work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, he dots his I's and crosses his T's.
Yeah.
And do we feel that's what Plumtree and Moore weren't doing, and that's why they've got the flick?
No, I think that would be unfair. Like, I don't think anyone goes into coaching and doesn't understand what commitment. Like, both guys have had a lot of success in their coaching career. Like, it would be too easy to just blame that. Without being in there, it's hard to comment because I don't think it is lack of effort. Yeah. But we're a results-based business, and the All Blacks have such a high expectation. Mm. And I revert back to what Wayne Smith, we do not want to lose that because that's what makes us so great. Yes, it doesn't need to be, you know, I think Wayne Smith used that he had, you know, he didn't have social media, he didn't read the papers, but they started sending him letters in the mail of abuse. You know, with social media these days, it's a little bit easier, but it's always going to be there, and it's about, you know, having the optimism, self-belief, and it's the dogged determination to get it right.
Yeah.
And those are the, I know the players and the coaching group have the ability to do that, and you don't become a player or a coach at that level without optimism, without self-belief, and some serious amount of determination, which are three key cogs going into what will be a really revealing tour of South Africa.
I just don't feel like we've been given an answer on, and I suppose we won't, based on what you said earlier about the pressure that goes on families and people when they leave, a real answer about what Plumtree and Moore did wrong, other than what we can see, and that the attack wasn't working and the forwards were dysfunctional at times. And you know, the line-out was probably inconsistent as well, those kind of things. So I suppose that's there. That leads to the question about the defensive frailties, because we saw the defence open up, especially early, regularly. Scott McLeod, is he a bit lucky not to be under the microscope?
I think he'll continue to be under the microscope, because just with how it's been going. So, you know, I know there's a review around the next two games, what that's going to look like, but you'd like to think that he's going to continue on to the Rugby World Cup. But I don't think it's all on Scott McLeod. I think individually as players, you've got to be able to have the accountability to be able to get your job right with whatever that is in that position. So whether the preparation's right, we're not in that environment to understand if the right messages are being told. But, you know, just looking at the All Blacks, and, you know, I look at the example of when James Lowe set up that try on the inside in the third test match in Wellington. You've got to be able to communicate and being able to have those micro comms with players right next to you. So, you know, whether that's happening in training or whether that's happening on the field, because I look at the difference with Ireland, whether that be on attack or defence, they're all animated, they're all engaged, they all got a purpose and a role with what they're doing. So I think that's where we're a little bit behind. And so whether that's, you know, the coaches can identify that, understand that, are they working collectively, 14, 15 people, everybody on the same page and trying to work together? Or is it 8 or 9? Is it 10 or 11? And so at the moment, the guys that are switched off just a touch, whether it be a moment in a game, that's where we're getting done. And that just shows how well Ireland are, and they consistently keep asking you questions. So I don't think we're going to get that in South Africa, because I think the level of attack that the South Africans have towards what the Irish have, we won't get as many questions answered against us. You'd like to think, I don't know, the South Africans could come out and play a completely different style, but from what we've seen, the attacking side isn't as good as the Irish. So you'd like to think there'd be a lot more improvement in being able to, I guess, nullify their attack, get turnovers and put more pressure on the South Africans than we did against the Irish.
Yeah, and don't underestimate the feeling of chasing a game. So defensively, sometimes players will want to solve the issue themselves, and they create a chink in the armour as such, and Johnny Sexton's one of the best of choosing the right option to exploit that. And it's not through lack of will, lack of desire, it's actually from the opposite, as they're trying to solve the issue and really get up fast. But they forget that, you know, your D-line's only as strong as your weakest link. And if it's two big boys or someone that's been out there 70 minutes and you've just come on fresh and you're trying to set the tone. But that bit of space, like you talk about with Lowe, is where they, made great decisions and had the ability to exploit it. So it's just potentially in different positions in the All Black jersey has created some defensive desire to go solve the problem on your own rather than together.
Were they more passive? They felt more passive, like the line speed wasn't maybe as strong as you'd remember them to be.
The difference is that when you're getting quick ball, and whether it be at the breakdown, you can't get set. And so if you do a job at the breakdown, we've talked a lot around collisions and physicality at the breakdown to be able to own that contact area. If you don't get that right, you can't be set early, you can't be outside alignment, you can't communicate to the person next to you. And so when you're consistently on the back foot, it comes back to those things that Jip's saying around, oh, I need to make a play here, I'm not in the right position. Is he thinking what I'm thinking? And so, like you said with the Irish, how many times were they able to break us because their quick ball was just so quick that we couldn't be set and we weren't on the same page? So that's what it comes back, really just comes back down. We've harped the power on this point, Ross, I don't know for how long. The physicality at the breakdown and being able to slow down the ball sorts out pretty much everything when it comes to defence. And so that's where probably another area, Jip, you probably think that the All Blacks need to try and nullify and get right.
Yeah, and you know that's going to be direct.
Yeah.
You know the Springboks going to be direct. So it's, you know, making sure that they're, you know, four legs versus two rather than the other way around when the Springboks like to latch and they have four legs. Having the ability to get that to the ground. You know, we've got guys that are some of the best exponents over the ball and either slowing down, buying defensive time or getting the penalty. So again, I know it sounds simplistic, but sometimes it's just tackle choice and ruck decision making.
Yep.
And if you get it right, and you get the balance and you get numbers on feet, you buy yourself time, gives you the ability to communicate, then you're solving answers together. Mm-hmm. But if they win the collision, we put too many bodies in breakdowns, or we don't number up the right side, yeah. It just gives...
And that's a really good point, I think, the decision making. And I think that's probably where the Northern Hemisphere teams, I find, their decision making at rucks are just a little bit better than us at the moment. And so when you've got that, you know, whether you think you've got to go hunt for a ball, or you're like, you know what, we've got dominant collision here, we can go straight through because we're dominant in that tackle, or it's like we've lost the breakdown here, we didn't get the contact we wanted, then we can just spread out, and then we can make the next time we get an opportunity to be dominant tackle on the ball, and it's that cycle again. So
I actually think it's tackle choice as well. Like, I'll use England example. They were fantastic at the breakdown, and a lot of their tackle choice is just low. Get them to the deck as fast as possible, then we'll get our big boys on the ball. And I think that's a massive factor. It's not about going ego versus ego. Mm. Just get Itzebeth on the ground and give our hunter the chance to get over the ball. And just, you know, keep it that simple.
Yeah, I agree.
What about Ian Foster and him taking the attack coach role back again and maybe getting some assistance from an attacking strategist and new selector Joe Schmidt? Does that feel like the right solution here?
Oh, look, he's got a hell of a lot of experience in it, and they do need that experience. And with a helping hand like Joe Schmidt, you know, when he was coaching Ireland, he was quite innovative. He had plays, so he'll be a guiding influence. And, you know, like... I don't know, I'm always someone that you've got to stick, you know, together when the pressure's on. And I think they've done that as best as they can after looking really hard at each other and taking some ownership, that they've you know, sort of had that hard conversation, but now it's about let's get on. And we don't know, we're not privy to the conversations if anyone else was an option. And we don't know, you know, like there's so much going to it, you know, until we... Like you say, we don't know the information, so it's hard to make comment. But I think someone of his experience and of Joe's, I think they'll be held in good stead, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen Plumtree and Moore go, but it's not easy to fire someone in New Zealand. It takes a million warning messages and a pretty well-written contract in order to get people mostly. So I suppose the question is, when they go to that review after the Springboks series, if they haven't won again, Bryn, do you feel like there might be changes then, or is it too late?
That's a really good question, man. Look, I think a realistic goal, I think if it's 1-1, I think they're going to be safe. I think if it's 2-0, and there's been no changes around the areas that we've talked about, whether that be on attack, defence, they're still the same mistakes that they're making after the two test match series, and we haven't got the results, then I think it will change. But you know, it's. I said this a couple of weeks ago. We don't have a lot of time to be able to make these decisions. So look, you know, if we lose a test matches 0-2, we don't win it. Then you'd like to think, based on the results, you probably need change. But if it's 1-1 and you get that result over there, and you see changes with what we've missed, whether it be set piece, being able to get that right with the line out more, our attack, defensive shifts that we probably need to make as well. If you've seen improvements in that, then I think they'll be safe. But if we don't see that, and it's the exact same stuff that we've seen, and we're having this conversation in about, you know, a month's time, then we've wasted time, and we probably need to have a change.
Can't make the assumption that, you know, let's say it like Razor wants it either. Mm. You know, like, and you don't want too much disruption. Like, there's, I don't think it's just a results based review. Like, it's you know, it's stripping it back. And look, I'm still optimistic that, you know, we can come away, you know, with both games being won. And I think being away from home touring is a massive factor, and, you know, them being able to clear their heads, get their mindset right, and make a statement. Like, they won't be, no player will be enjoying this, no coach will be enjoying this. And as I said before, like, you don't get to where they get to without determination to make it right. And their full focus, you know, 24/7 will be that first test against the Springboks and making sure that on the day they front up and deliver.
But there has to be some form of accountability as well. Like, I'm very optimistic as well, Chip, though. I think there's enough players for us to be able to get it right. Like, you don't become a bad team or bad players in one test series. But I think you have to be able to show some form of growth and improvement around the areas that
100%. I'm just saying, let's not make assumptions that there's a queue of people lining up. That's all. Like, we don't know that. There may be. But there may not be. Like, we can't just, like, Razor's his own man. He might you know, want to coach the Barbarians. I don't know.
I suppose that is an assumption, but I suppose the other assumption is that, you know, if you get offered the All Blacks job, it doesn't come up very often. If it comes at you, you've got to take it because it might be another 10 years.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Dave Reddy haven't had the opportunity and would have been probably an outstanding
one. I think, you know, you're going to have to get those ducks in a row prior to knowing what the test was. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you can't, you're losing time.
Yeah.
And you can't handle much more disruption.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
To give yourself the best chance, you need to have some sense of control.
Yeah. And I suppose looking from an outsider's point of view, looking from a journalist's point of view, looking from a fan who's commenting on Facebook's point of view, the disruption is real. Like, there's a lot of chat and there's a lot of people who wanted the exact opposite to what's happen. Is it fair? Do you think the conversation, the way that it's playing out, whether it's the media reporting or whether it's the people commenting on Facebook, do you think that the way that the conversation is being had is fair on Ian Foster and his crew?
It might not be fair, and I don't think it's just coaches that have come under fire. There's plenty of players that have come under fire as well. I don't think, you know, it's fair, but I think the people in those roles, you know, you almost expect it. Well, I certainly did as a player.
Yep.
You know, like it is comes with the territory. I'm not saying it's right, but it does come from the territory. I always think it's a lot harder for your support network.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to read that stuff about someone you love so dearly every day. But whereas the person in the role, you know what's coming, and you sign up for it.
Yeah, and especially at All Black level. Like, you know, Ross, when's the last time you would have seen an All Black under this much scrutiny, or the coaches or at any time?
I don't know.
You know, so long ago. But the expectation for us, and unfortunately with how so successful we are and how dominant we've been for so long, the expectation is for us to win. You know, and we should never really lose that drive. That, you know, we want to be world leading. We want to be the best team in the world. We want to have the best players, and we want to be playing a brand of footy that us Kiwis that we're so accustomed to see. So we shouldn't lose that, and our expectation shouldn't be that of the All Blacks. So it's great to see that there have been some form of changes, and I know it's really tough for those people that have lost their positions. But you know, for the Kiwis, there has been some form of change that, you know, we're seeing, like, we're going in a different direction here.
Yeah, and I think, like, sorry to revert back to Wayne Smith's comments, but he said, like, some of the most exhilarating moments in his coaching career is when you've hit rock bottom and you come out the other side and you make a statement with, you know, improved performances and you know, basically showing everyone you are as good as that. And he said that's one of the most satisfying things in his coaching career, and he's the guru. I just think we don't need to give up hope just yet. Like, there's a lot of quality players which we've seen again play through Super Rugby and deliver, and these coaches have been, you know, in these positions before, maybe not at test match level, but the Chiefs, you know, Fozzie's had you know, a long career with the Chiefs that, you know, made the final, I think it was in his last year, but also seasons that haven't. So it's, you know, maybe not to this level of pressure and scrutiny, but he's definitely you know, felt it and got through the other side before.
And I think a lot of players have been through that as well, because, you know, you go through environments where you're not playing well, you come together as leadership groups, as coaches, you come along. Like, I look at our experience in Australia. Like, you know, for that long, that when we lost to the Waratahs, it was a real, you know, we got more so reached rock bottom losing that game and not playing how we wanted to do. But the accountability and the understanding from players and coaches, we all came together and really galvanised the fact that we're away from home and we could solve it with each other. And so you'd like to think that it's going to be a similar example for the All Blacks going over. A lot of players in that environment have experience, and, you know, whether it be at Super Rugby level, test match level, going under a bit of adversity, they'll be able to come together and hopefully have the solutions to be able to come forward. And you know what? We've got a great test match, a great opportunity to be able to rectify a lot of things and put out a performance that we can be proud of and hopefully come away with the win in these next two test matches.
And we spoke about the power of the vulnerability to say, hey, I haven't been at my best.
Yep.
And you'd have to think that's happened over the last week. It almost sent, it does galvanise you together to be like, we're in this together. No one's trying to hide here. Let's solve the issue.
Yep.
And the amount of experience that's in that All Black camp, like, you know, there's going to be, well, I believe the senior leaders will probably play some of the best rugby we've seen in a long time.
Definitely.
I feel like the players have been very vulnerable. I feel like the players, from Artie post-match, Dane Coles is always very truthful. You know, those people, they're putting it out there. I feel like maybe this is a learning curve for the coaches, because for a long time, the All Blacks coach is supposed to be resolute. Sport is supposed to be hard, almost emotionless. You think back the way that Steve Hansen, Graham Henry, all the way back to Alex Wiley and the men before them, you don't see All Blacks coaches in the media being vulnerable. You see them being confident, you see them being strong, but you don't see them being vulnerable. And I feel like maybe that is one lesson they need to learn from this. The conversation has to be fairly honest and probably a little less held back.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the make or break for them to do it publicly. I'm saying that if they can show that vulnerability, like Bryn used as an example of the Crusaders coaching group in when they lost to the Waratahs, saying, hey, we haven't got this right, we haven't dotted our I's, crossed our T's. It made space for the players to go, actually, we haven't either. And then they got on the same page. So when I'm saying about that vulnerability throughout the group, it doesn't need to be public for me, but it's very powerful when it's done in that camp. Okay. But I understand that, you know, people want that as well.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if that is happening in camp and we don't know about it, that's a very strong and motivating tool to bring the best out of everyone.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on to the next little part of this. Yeah.
All right, that's 3 hours down. Yeah,
the intensity continues. This is like a review. Look, let's have a look at the squad as well, because there's been some changes. Obviously, Sam Kane is still in charge. Let's start there, maybe. I know that you're a big fan and you believe this is the right decision.
Yeah, I do. And I think sometimes, you know, some of his efforts have been glossed over and we've spoken.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
About that, and the players want him as the skip, and that's always a powerful, you know, tool to me. It's a good judge that they want to play for him, and he is a sort of guy that will, you know, only be motivated by this challenge, and he'll take it on head first. I don't think I don't think he'll be ignoring the noise. You know, like he'll know it's there, but he'll turn it into a, you know, I suppose a glass half full.
Yeah.
Approach and do something special in South Africa.
And it's not, it just doesn't fall onto Sam as well, being the captain of the All Blacks. It comes back to the senior leader groups within the group, and there's that much experience in that team that'll be able to be solution focused, saying, look, you don't need to be able to worry about everything. We'll take certain things from you that you don't need to worry about. And so Sam can just concentrate what he needs to do. And he might have one or two things. It might be the messaging at the back end of the week. That might be his role. And then he gives the other players to be able to, you can speak here, you can do this, or whatever it may be. So it doesn't just fall on Sam. And I know, you know, public will think it's all on Sam, but I know that you know, he'll go over there and being able to have a really good support system through the leaders that'll be in that group wanting to help him, and then also the coaches trust him as well. Fozzie's come out and said he's our man, you know. So when you've got your coach coming out and saying I trust you through all the noise that's been coming through the media and that, it gives you confidence as a player to be able to go out there and say, you know what, I'm the All Black captain and I should be.
Mm. Are there any other options? I mean, is he? He out and out the straight up guy, or I mean, I suppose you've got Sam and you've got Artie, you've got these other guys there. Are there any of them a reasonable option as a replacement?
You could, but you just
they're going to be involved anyway.
Yeah.
Like in the leadership group, like it's gone are the days of just, you know, the captain's everything.
Mm.
You know, you've got to spread that load, and you know, they're still on the field. They've still got the ability to say what they're thinking tactically. You've got Bowden at first five, or Richie, who are both, you know, tactically astute, so it's not necessarily always Sam's decision either. Like they're the game drivers; they'll be putting in the position. And I say again, the players want to play for him, and that's very, very important when you're a captain.
Yeah.
The players in the squad, Shannon Frizzell and Ethan De Groot, come back. I think a lot of people were surprised that they weren't in the squad in the first place, but They're fit now, according to Ian Foster, and that's why they're back. They weren't fit enough before. Peter Gusto Akula has got to be the most hard done by guy in the squad. Did he put a foot wrong?
Look, I don't think he did. Like, he was, we don't see throughout the week, obviously. But, you know, apart from a couple of errors, like, he was, but they're going into the cauldron. Experience of that cauldron is key. Shannon has that experience. And he's a different player. He's a staunch defender, tough carry, six.
Proven.
And with that experience of what they're going into is crucial. I also think Akita's performance may have opened up the opportunity for changing up the makeup, because he was so strong, especially in attack. What he showed, it was one of his better tests.
Yeah.
In a losing effort, so that always can play a part in selecting the squad.
And I think they've probably seen him as an eight as well. You know, the times that he did come on, he was an eight. So I think, you know, they see Shannon as a genuine six. You know, he's got the ability to be able to cover lock, but, you know, they obviously had Peter Gus, he could play six at a pinch, but he's played predominantly a lot at eight.
And also with the injuries at lock, yep. I mean, Scott will, you know, be in a locking position, not covering six, so you do need that cover.
Yeah, so that's what it means. Yeah, like, you know, with Brody being out for such a long period of time, you probably lose Scott wanting to be at that six area now. So, okay, what do we need? We need an out-and-out six, and look, Shannon does that. You know, he's been injured in that, but hope, you know, the coaches have probably seen that he's gone away, worked on what he needed to, and I think, you know, first and foremost as well, he's a proven All Black, and he gives you what we need in that six.
And prior to injury, he was playing some of his best body for the Highlanders.
Yeah.
So he's got that confidence to draw on, to come back on.
I suppose Carl Tuinukuafe is just a given, because, I mean, it was a surprise he was in the squad in the first place. He's leaving. So.
Yeah, I don't think his knees are handy either. so I think there might have been some injury concerns around him. So, as you say, he's departing, and a great learning opportunity for someone like Ethan, who I think has, you know, had some pretty strong performances, especially at scrum time throughout the season.
And especially in the back end.
It'll be a great tour for him and his growth moving forward, because he's got a long future in that jersey if he sticks to it.
Who's unlucky to miss out on the squad?
You probably think Cullen Grace would be the one guy that you probably would think, is there enough room for him? Because
off the back of the Maldives performance, you know, probably Cullen and Brad can. I think Brad was really strong as well. But man, you can't. How can you drop Hoskins? He didn't get to play a game, and you know, Artie was probably our player of the tour, or the three-test series. So, tough spot for Lucy's.
And like we've said at the start of the year, there's just so much. It's such a hotly contested spot that, unfortunately, you know, he's going to play NPC with Bunnings NPC, and he's been able to like continue to keep playing. So, if there are injuries, then, you know, you'd probably have to think Cully's straight in there. But it is tough when, you know, for a guy that, you know, if you look around his resilience, you know, missing out on an All Black squad where there's been a lot of chat around him, playing well in the final series, then playing for the Māori against an Irish team that we've talked about, hyped up a lot. So, look, he's ticking all the right boxes, but unfortunately, you know, sometimes there's guys that are in that position that are there. There's so many in that spot. You just got to be able to take your time in. And you'd like to think if there's an injury, Cullen Grace would probably be there. And, like, again, I agree with you when it comes to Brad. Yep. But I thought Brad was great in that Irish test match. When they won that first game. But again, they've backed Folau as that project around. He brings something different, and he does. He brings something different than any other New Zealand halfback. But at the same time, you know, you've got an experienced guy there who's proven, again, like Shannon Frizzell. And if there are injuries, then you'd have to think that Brad would be the next cab off the rank for sure.
I just love both Brad and TJ. Like, they're just going to keep knocking at that door. You know, that's what I love about both their character. You know, both of them played extremely well, and you won't be able to rest on your laurels in that nine spot in that All Black environment, and that brings the best out of the other three, because they know there's people snapping at their heels.
And it would be harsh to drop a halfback considering the ball they were fed. Like, you know, you can't really blame a halfback when they're not winning up front, can you?
Yeah, but there is a lot of things than just passing a ball. I think you can influence games in other ways, you know, so whether that be defensively, your role to be able to understand the defensive system, get that right, be a great communicator, which is really important. You know, your box kicking is really important as well. You can influence in that game, whether that be contestable kicks, getting that execution right, or looking for long territory for 50-22. So, yes, the core role for a halfback in New Zealand, especially in the New Zealand game, is to get it right when it comes to your passing, getting that quick ball. But there's still ways that you can influence a game that it just doesn't come back to passing. So hopefully some of those areas as well, the other halfbacks in those with the All Blacks, they can hit those marks as well.
Were you expecting Josh Dixon to be the next cab off the rank as far as locking's concerned as a travelling reserve?
Yeah, probably. You know, like he has had a good couple of seasons and his performance, I suppose, against Ireland helps him. You know, like he's showing he's up to that level. So it'll be awesome for his growth as well. Like, you know, they have leant heavily on Bryn Evans down in the Highlanders, and it's a great opportunity for him to sort of take the mantle around that, you know, sole leader of the line-out, both attack and defence. And he'll get plenty of reps over there as well, which will only better his performances when he comes back to NPC.
And it's probably only two guys you'd probably think that you'd think would be another person that would be in there. You've got like Quinton Strange, who probably just hasn't played enough rugby. He was selected, you know, a couple of years ago, but just unfortunately hasn't been able to play on the field. And you've got Paddy Parkinson, who's injured, as hasn't been able to play. Those are probably the two guys you'd
think would be. Yeah, well, and we had Gerard Kelly too.
He's gone now.
So there was a couple that potentially were ahead of him, but he's fought his way in there.
And then now you go to, like, if you go past that, it's just really young guys like Zach Gallagher,
Selby Rickett,
who's been probably one guy that has played a little bit more with a bit more experience, but
Josh Goodhue's off, I think. So there's a bit of movement. There's Sam Derry.
Yeah.
Grace?
Probably not a lock at that level.
Test match lock.
Yeah. Not a test match lock.
He did a great line-out exponent, don't get me wrong. He's very much of the Kieran Reid mould and he knows his line-outs.
Yeah.
She's a big job getting in those five jerseys.
It'd be a pinch, let alone playing at a Crystal. So he did that for 1 week, I think, when we had COVID. But to do it at test level, you're going up here, Itzebeth, and probably one of the best locking duos in the world. So, it's tough for Kelly to be able to have that lock position.
John Plumtree was part of the selection team before he left. Now, Jason Ryan's not part of the selection team necessarily, but I'm sure he'll have some input. And he's obviously a big fan of Cullen Grace. Do you think that maybe that could be a door opening a little bit for Cullen Grace and bringing his skills into the All Blacks, because there's a lot of comment about him not being there?
Well, I think it's like anything, when you miss selection, it's only one man's opinion, and when you get selected, it's only one man's opinion. I don't think any player ever rests on their laurels and expects to get picked. So every time there's a squad announcement, I don't think, you know, it doesn't even matter if, you know, I think if you ask Richie McCaw, he would never make the assumption that he was going to pick when we all know he would. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a player's mindset, because I think when you have that mindset, that's when you're setting yourself up for a big fall. So it's going to be a different opinion in the mix, but there's consistency there. I suppose, no, because Schmidt's only coming in for Grant now.
So
there could be change, I don't know, but your only form of currency as a player is your performance.
Yeah, it is.
So you just got to deliver.
Well, who's going to deliver? What do you see your 23 shaping up as, guys?
Well, the big fella's got it. The big fella's got it on the old iPad.
You just got it in here.
I'll just pick his apart.
All right.
So you want me to name the 23? Who I think it would be?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got George Bauer out starting at prop. Cody Taylor, I've got highlighted. I could see like Tokiaho. I just think, with this performance and how he's played, he's probably due a chance, whether that is going to happen or not. So, but I've gone Cody, I've gone Uffa, Sam Whitelock, I've gone Scott Barrett or Tupou Vai, probably go Scott Barrett. Aki through his performance in the last test match. Sam Kane, Artie Severe, Aaron Smith. I've actually gone Richie at 10. I think it's probably just due a chance to be able to try have a go in the test match. I think both of them deserve an opportunity, and Bodie was able to do that through the first three test matches of the year. I've gone David and Rico at 13. Well, I think with Jack Goodhue not travelling, probably just leaves Rico as that centre option, and they're probably going to stick with him, which I think is probably good for his ability to be able to play more in that position. I've gone Sevu on the left wing, Will Jordan at fullback, but I'd have Will at fullback for me personally. But I think they'll choose Geordie. So I've got Will on the wing. And then I've gone Tokiaho or Coles. I couldn't actually pick the props. I was going to leave that to you. I've gone Ross and Nepo for that. But then I've gone Tupou Vai, Dalton. I've actually got Finlay Christie. I think he's just due an opportunity, Joe. I just think, I know Folau brings something different, but I think Reid and the ability...
I thought he brought great energy in that first test.
I agree.
Too. Yeah.
So I understand the reason why they keep picking Folau, because he brings something different in the attacking prowess that he has, but I'd have Reid, Finlay Christie. Finlay Christie. I've got Bodie on the bench, and then 23 I've got, it's either going to be... So I've got Braids, Lester or Rog, but couldn't pick either of them. You've got to probably have a centre winger, and probably Braden fits that mould. I don't think Roger does. He's probably just a second five centre at a pinch, so I'd probably pick Braids if I had to.
My philosophy in the 23 is, again, it's an opportunity for least amount of disruption, personally. I just think there's been enough peripheral disruption, keeping it as close to what it was. Potentially, the talking areas that you're talking about is Hooker, but I think it has to be Taylor or Coles, and Tokiaho definitely off the bench, just because that experience, yep. that as I said before, there'll be a lot of leaders wanting to make a statement, and those guys are big leaders in that, and that'll bring the best out of either of them. I agree with you on Aki, but you know, potentially Shannon could come into the mix there. But I think Akira is deserves another crack. Mm. Absolutely, because it wasn't just his physical prowess. He was getting up, he got a line-out steal defensively, he was putting pressure on Ireland's ball. So sometimes it's those things are, you know, not taken, you know, and probably not pumped up as much, the dogged work that Akira does. Like, there was obviously the highlight reel stuff, but he did a lot of dirty work as well. 10, I just don't think you want to, like, disrupt that. Same with the midfield. I think you keep that the same, but won't be surprised if they change it up. But at some point, they're going to need to make a decision to give one of them confidence.
Do you reckon it's 10 out of Richie and Bodie?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yep. Like, and they've got to get that runs on the board and belief in themselves. If they keep chopping and changing based on losses, which I know sounds stupid, but someone just needs to be given the saddle and go for it.
I think their decision's going to be pretty soon, I reckon, AJ.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Again, we've got two new people into maybe the, I don't know, is Ryan going on the selection panel? I don't know.
I don't know. They haven't
but Schmidt's definitely going to be there, so he'll have an opinion on it. Ross and Nepo, Dalton, Tupou, yeah, it was all pretty much the same. I do like your idea of Braden Enor.
Mm.
I just think, man, he's a great 23 option. He has the ability to play so many, so, you know, nothing on Rogers' third test, because he didn't get many minutes, let's be honest. But again, less disruption, going into somewhere that they've got experience and they know what they're coming up against, as in, that needs to be close to that 23.
How far is Caleb Clark?
It's a good question.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, is he available and fit?
He must be getting close. Yeah. He's sitting around some good blocking lines on the weekend.
Yeah. I think.
Sorry.
It's nice from you. It's nice from you. I do think, you know, if it's not Caleb, maybe Lester does come back in it. Nothing on Sevu. He's a genuine 11. So I think that becomes a factor as well.
Yep.
So one of the big boys. you're happy with that.
Yeah, right, aren't you?
Yeah. He was very nimble. But yeah, it would be great to see one of the big wingers come back into the fold, because they can just get you that gain line ball that we're talking about.
Yeah. And that's where I like, sorry, harp on, go back to the team. That's why I just think Will at fullback, I know they'll pick Geordie, but man, he's just one guy. You'd argue he has to say he's the best fullback in New Zealand, and he can't start at fullback. And I guess what he brings is something completely different from what Geordie does.
He definitely can play a role. Like, if you use Colin Betty as an example, the work he does to get off his wing and put himself in position is no different to what Will Jordan can do, like hovering around inside balls that he got from Artie. Like, I don't think it's as... Like, I think they both need to be there, and I think Geordie, Will's a genuine wing, you know, like, if they had to pick, like, Geordie's the 15 and he's the winger, and I do think, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but they can inject themselves in the game. Not as much, they don't have as much time to pick things off, but where he had success were in those winger roles in that third test where he got his line breaks, and he just has that knack, you know, he's got his chip and chase game, you know, suited to him on the right flank. And as you said, you know, if we can get some front foot ball, both of them become a threat.
Mm.
Does having, let's say you would have Reggie Moore at 10, and you know, it was probably, you know, considered maybe a better goal kicker than Beauden Barrett, and then David Havili, who's got the long kicking game that Geordie Barrett brings, does that affect Geordie Barrett's selection in any way? Does that give you options to go in a different direction?
Not for me.
Nah, I don't think I understand the reason, like, why they have Geordie in there, because he's a great player. He brings different strengths to what Will does. And so in that environment, that's what Fozzie thinks, that, you know, having both Will and Geordie on at the same time is the best thing for the team. And so the only reason why I bring up, like, Will is because, you know, we're going to South Africa and you'd like to think it's going to be dry conditions and under the veldt, and especially the big boys of the South Africans and how they are. the more times we can get him in positions to be able to do through counter. And yes, you can get that at wing through roving around like we saw with Adi Sevier's inside ball, but with the kicking game that's coming from the South Africans, I think the more time that we can give Will with ball in hand to be able to counter-attack with ball in hand, he'll be able to pose a lot more questions. And so that's the only thing that I see the difference with Will. But I can see their thinking around, because with having Geordie at fullback, swapping them around to put Geordie on the wing and put Will at fullback isn't the same. It's not the same. So I can see the reason why, but those are the reasons why I'd have Will at fullback. But I can see the thinking of why they have Geordie and Will on the wing.
Just touching on that play, because that was a really great play. Is that likely to be Will Jordan, who's come up to Ardy and said, hey, look, I've seen a little hole here. Have you considered maybe...
I'd say it would be on the fly. It would just be a simple inside ball call, and Ardy would have heard it and gave it.
Yeah, just saw the hole and went.
Yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. Now, the Springboks, they've made a couple of changes. Dwayne Vermeulen back in, Frans Steyn back in. So that's experience big time. Out Marcel Kutsia and Afalele Fassi. That seems like a relatively good call going into a rugby championship to me.
Massive, especially Steyn, man. He can kick them from anywhere. These tests will be tight.
Yep.
So I think having someone like him, potentially off the bench late in the game, will be huge. And Van Meulen.
Surprised he missed. Yeah. Missed out the first time.
Right. He's not just a brute with ball in hand either. He's really good over the ball. Yep. Yeah. He's a great defender. He offers a hell of a lot in terms of leadership and that sort of follow me. So he's a great get, and you'd have to sort of expect him, maybe he walks straight into the eight jersey for me anyway.
Out of the squad and into the starting 15, just like that.
Well, was that good?
Or is it that they were managing their squad in a way where they went, we need to give these guys a chance, we know what you can do.
And they probably had that conversation, mate, you'll be back for the All Blacks.
But he's arguably one of the best rugby players in the world, so... You know, with the ability what they can bring defensively, the Jackal as well. Like, man,
That's how he won. They won the last test of Jackal.
Yeah, and so the more times you can have those kind of players that can, to be honest, most of their forwards can do it. But when you've got someone that's that expertise and can actually get really good line, he's got great technique and actually get over the ball and win that contact area and get those steals, it's going to be valuable coming forth for the series for them.
It's exciting.
It's definitely not a My Sky job, is it? You know, it is definitely get up and watch it live and get in the thick of it.
I don't do that anymore. I can't deal with the next day.
We haven't played them for so long into that though, so you might have to get up, Ross.
Well, Eden wakes up at 7 o'clock no matter what, so like if I've gone to bed at 5, he's up at 7, I'm like this is hell.
But if the All Blacks have won, you're like, we're up.
Plus he misses out on an opportunity to be indoctrinated into rugby. Chances are his mother's still in bed asleep.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be worry about any screen time going on. I can sit there and say, mate, that is David Havili. Yeah.
he is very good at the 50-22.
Take note. Here's a ball. Yeah. Kick it around the lounge.
Read the backfield.
Don't hit the TV. it will be exciting to get up for that one. Also coming up, more rugby championship, of course, the other two teams, the Wallabies and the Springboks. The Wallabies squad's brought in a few people. Rory Arnold, Fraser McWright, Jock Campbell, Erase Moni, Lalakai Fuketi and Matt Gibbon all into the squad. Any surprises there for you?
I think McWright was probably deserving of a selection, because I think it was probably unlucky through this former Super Rugby Pacific of how well he played for the Reds. And then, you know, had a continuation and played really well in that Pacific Nations series. And so he's one guy that I saw, I was like, pretty stoked for him, because I thought he's been knocking on the door drip and, you know, was probably deserving the first time. But it just shows you've got to keep playing well, and he's been given an opportunity that thoroughly deserved.
Yeah, and Campbell plays that role. He can sort of cover wing, fullback, and he's... This is going to be very complimentary, and don't take it the wrong way, but he is Will Jordan-esque.
Yeah, I feel that as well. Yep.
He is, I don't want to put pressure on the young kid, but he has the ability to find himself out the other side of defensive lines without really knowing how he did it.
Yep.
So he has got that knack. So he'll and there's been a few injuries in the back three, so I don't think you're risking too much chucking him out there.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Yeah, and it seems a lot of Australian teams at the moment with their wingers and their outside backs, they're roving, and they're always got a lot of work. They're always working off the ball. And so I'm really glad you said that. Obviously, that's a lot of pressure with Will Jordan, how well
he is.
But I agree with you. He's got a knack of being able to score tries, pop up in the right positions. And, you know, at test level, sometimes that's all you need. That one moment for some guy that can be able to find a knack to get over the try line or pop up somewhere, a chip and chase or an offload. And he's always in and around the ball. So I think he's another guy as well that I thought was pretty well deserving of being in that squad as well.
I'm excited for Fekitti. I am a big fan of his. I'd love it if his mate Parisi was playing, because those two, when they get together, he seems to bring the best out of Parisi. But I think he can play that role for someone else. I'd love to see him get some decent minutes.
They've got some midfielders. Speaking of midfielders, Samu Karevi off to the Commonwealth Games. The Gitto Law, I mean, it's been around a long time now, currently stands at only picking three overseas players, which I think is a little bit different to what the Gitto Law was originally. It was a number of test matches, wasn't it? Play overseas. Dave Rennie would like it to be four. Does that sound like a good idea for the Wallabies and Aussie Rugby?
What's one more? Well, what's really the difference? Yeah, like, there's no real difference. So
I don't know why there's a restriction, to be honest. Like, if you're going to go down that route, you might as well go down that route.
You're all in and you're all out.
Yeah, and look, he just wants to win. So he's obviously got his eye on a certain amount of players that he wants to get in the squad and get the result.
Yeah. I can kind of understand it. Like, I presume that they come from a point of protecting their own sponsors and protecting, you know, having people stay in the country to play rugby.
But it's also like, I'm sure they have a process that they can apply to the board for dispensation for the amount of injuries they've had. Like, the injury toll is ridiculous. Mm. Like, so if it is from a performance base and there's someone that's eligible and available from overseas and is keen to join the squad, I don't see why they'd stand in their own way. Mm-hmm. Don't know.
Yeah. Because it seems like everyone's doing it now. New Zealand's the only one that isn't. Yeah.
Well, let's not open that up.
Now that would be disruption.
Yeah.
we could do a whole podcast around who that team would be.
Yeah.
With the amount of
Brent
talent,
nine.
The amount of talent that's over there, jeez. But yeah, at the same time, you know, domestically, that's where our game's really, really good, because these guys stay here. You know,
for the dream,
and for the example, like myself, you know, stayed here for 9 to 10 years, was able to, like, you know, they all play for want to play for the All Blacks and that, but still had success at Super Rugby, been able to go back to Mitre 10 Cup, still have like loyalty schemes that New Zealand Rugby Union do really good at, be able to look after those sorts of players. And so, if we open up that Gitto Law or whatever law it would be, the Eastern Athewa Law, you'd have to think of something like that. It would open up a lot of can of worms. You'd probably lose domestically and how strong our competition is in New Zealand.
No, I totally agree. It seems short-sighted to not protect what's happening here.
Yeah.
Things aren't easy as it stands.
Well, I know it's not the highest form, but the Bunnings NPC is some of the best viewing, and that's due to the quality of players that come back.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's like, because you've got the young, it is a young man's game. You've got the under-20s and the school systems that come through, but it's those 6 years, the 25 to 29-year-olds that are still in, being able to influence those guys and help them and tell them what it looks like.
And the 30 to 39, come on. Don't leave the old battlers out, mate.
Like, I'm on class into that now. I'm 30 now. But yeah, but you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, you look at the NRC and in Australia, you know, struggle at that kind of level. And then you've got
Curry Cup's definitely taken a hit, though.
It's
definitely not as strong as it once was.
Yeah. I suppose that the hard thing for them is the Curry Cup takes a hit, but on the other hand, you can call in Dwayne Vermeulen and Frans Steyn.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's what they've opened up, because they've got the ability to pick players from all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the Curry Cup that's probably the competition. You know, the level goes down to where it once was, where it was a formidable competition.
Yeah. Argentina. Michael Checker has welcomed back some good players. Yeah. Montoya, Gabelli, Sanchez, Cordero. That gives them a fighting chance.
Gabelli and Sanchez, I think, is massive. Mm. Gabelli's one of those halfbacks that just can create something out of nothing. He's so competitive and in your face. Like, I remember every time I was throwing a line out, he was just yelling at me the whole time. just absolutely spraying me. I remember I scored against the Brumbies, and you know he's playing for the Brumbies, and I think he came over the top, tackled me, and he just... Like, I just scored a try and he was abusing me. I was like, mate.
Just scored a try, mate.
I was like, he's just that competitive. So I think that energy is infectious at that test match level. And then Sanchez, you know he's got a steady boot. He can kick his goals. And he gives a lot of confidence to set up, you know, I suppose, Boffelli and those to inject themselves and add their flair while he has that sort of control. And ever since they've been in the All Blacks, I think he's been well balanced. You know, they're not trying to overachieve by playing, you know, have the most offloads, but you know, they don't give those 50-50s anymore, and I think his experience is massive on that, and they won't want to be turning over too much pill against Australia, and when they obviously come against the All Blacks, that's where they that's probably the strongest part of the game.
And what you do with having a 10 like that, it's game management as well in big moments in games. And so anytime you can get a guy like that who's that experience, that success of beating the All Blacks, playing in high quality matches, whether it be overseas or coming back to play for Argentina, anytime you can bring a person like that into the environment, which they're going to need, because anytime you know you're going to play the All Blacks or you know the Australians or the South Africans, the more experience you can have and been able to, I guess, you know, even the who's the young 10 that was playing there at the moment with them, through Sanchez has been playing, so not too sure what his name is, but like a young, you know, there's been a younger generation that's been able to come up, and so anytime you can bring that guy in to, I guess, upskill them and help them with their leadership role and being able to have game management for the next crop coming through, that's something that he can add to that environment as well.
I remember sitting in Buenos Aires watching a training and watching him kick goals, and he was just, he did half an hour, and I just sat back in the chair on the sideline and just watched him go, and it was like metronomic. Like, it was just hypnotizing. It was so beautiful.
He's
like,
got such a nice technique.
So easy.
So smooth.
He's got a great tan as well.
Like Bryn's golf swing.
He's got a great tan.
So good.
Great tan. It's not mine. It's terrible.
Very good to watch.
Mine's terrible at the moment.
Well, will you be getting much of a tan over in Japan? It's
36 degrees at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
So 77% humidity.
Yeah.
I've been watching the WhatsApp page. That's not the WhatsApp page, the Instagram page, and think they've got 4 trainings in one day. So I'm really looking forward to heading over there and
go over and earn that yen.
Yeah, immersing myself into that culture.
4 trainings in one day.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
You will love it. No, I'm looking forward to it though. Really looking forward to it.
That's it. We'll miss having you around here, but of course you're just going to be in the screen.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Well, Chip's probably going to get a little bit of a sore neck.
It's been good to have you here, mate.
Yeah. It's been nice being back.
You're bringing the energy. Well, we've got something for you that you can...
What do we got here?
Manscaped? It's going to help you with your 4 trainings a day. It's the Brent yellow bib. The veteran's bib to get you
that's
out
awesome.
Of training.
Oh, no, let me see it fits. I'll tell you what, this will go good in Japan.
Enjoy, mate.
I tried to get it as tight as possible so you could wear it in the nightclubs.
I just think you'd go like shirtless underneath.
It'll be that hot. Awesome.
Send us a pic.
I will, mate. Thank you, Les. Really appreciate that.
And we've got a card for you from some of your good mates.
Open now, Joel?
Open now, Joel?
Is it? Okay, let's have a look. Bear with me, viewers.
It's from Matt.
Just a small note to say a big thank you.
Yeah.
Brenner, all the best on the next adventure. Looking forward to hearing all the yarns. We'll miss the motivation your mates in Melbourne Rebels. Seriously though, have a great time over there, mate. See you soon on the big screen. They are P team.
Cheers. Rebels safe,
thanks, mate. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Rebels, true.
Yeah, the Rebels.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing previewing you guys next year. Can't wait.
Awesome, mate. We'll look forward to seeing you on the big screen next week.
Yeah.
All the best on the travels.
Cheers.
Hope it all goes well.
Settle in well.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
See you back here this time next week. Jeez, and we'll talk some more footy heading into these big test matches.
Bring it on.
Exciting.
I'm looking forward to talking footy, coaching management structures.
Who knows, I'm a little bit out of my depth there.
It's an opinion piece.
Yeah, it's good. I loved it. This is like a press conference.
Felt like a journalist.
It'll be a tough edit.
Yeah. Right, let's go. Okay, thank you very much, guys. That is us for another week. Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Enjoy your footy. We'll catch you again next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.